Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness in today's show. We'll be taking your calls and responding to your email questions. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you?
Very well. Thank you. And yourself?
I'm great.
All right.
It's a beautiful day in California.
It is, isn't it? And we seem to be a long ways from sunset, which is very exciting. And I also heard that daylight savings is supposed to happen sometime in March. Now, that's I don't know whether we go off it or we go on it, but it makes that spring ahead thing in March instead of April. I got very excited.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Even more
like long, beautiful days.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I can handle about 4 weeks of winter in California, and then I'm ready for spring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do feel sorry for the ski resorts and that sort of thing because that's kind of rugged, but we're being reassured that we have plenty of water in the reservoirs, so we can just go right on enjoying the sunshine without any guilt.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Great. We have a caller, Sherry.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Roger from Vermont. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Roger. Hi, Roger. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good. What's going on?
Well, I'm kind of, it was a little bit of a struggle to call tonight.
Uh-huh, because?
Well, I planned to call all day, and then right before I called, I felt like I felt kind of sick.
Mm.
Like something was, you know, not right about doing it, and all these other things suggested themselves to me as better
activities. So you started feeling a little ill,
mm-hmm.
and then you got information it was because you were going to call in.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, I was, you know, hearing things about how it was a bad thing and not, you know, the Buddhism was no good, things like that.
But you,
bizarre, but
you soldiered on and made it past that wisdom.
I did, yeah.
Very good.
So, but the reason I'm calling is I've been listening to the archives, which are just so wonderful. I really I feel like they're changing my brain somehow.
I'm sure they are. No, I'm quite serious.
Really?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Which is why the voices are really against you doing this.
Hmm.
Because if you just think about it as simply reinforcing pathways,
right.
Well, the voices have been reinforcing the same pathways for a long time. And then you're going to start turning your attention to something else. Now, you know, I'm fond of pointing out the quality of your life is determined by the focus of your attention.
Uh-huh.
So there you are. And now you're going to turn your attention to something else, and that's going to change your life.
Right.
It is. There's no way around it.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting about the archives, I was actually going to talk about something else, but now that we're talking about that, the archives, I notice that the programs that you folks did from Africa,
uh-huh.
that I have a tremendous amount of resistance to listening to those programs. But that is really strange because when I do listen to them, I've only listened to them twice now, I think, I have this tremendous emotional reaction
mm-hmm.
Of this feeling of just joy and warmth and just a feeling of goodness, you know, of life. And I think I can, the more I listen, well, today I re-listened to one, and I really felt like I was hearing things that I hadn't heard before, and those were just the sense of the joy that you folks were expressing. But
now, let me. Can I jump in right here?
Yeah.
I was actually looking at this earlier this afternoon, and I can't honestly remember what triggered me to start looking at it. But the kind of thought that went through was, how often does a person need to hear that those voices who beat you up don't like you and want your life to be miserable and a failure before we actually sort of get it?
Yeah.
Right? Which is what's going on. I mean, it's at least to everybody listening. I don't know what it's like for you, you know, being in the middle of it, because it's often harder for us to see. Well, it's always harder for us to see our own stuff. Let's face it. So everybody else that's listening in, it's probably fairly close to crystal clear that what the voices want to guide you to do is pay attention to them, stay focused on, can we say, negativity?
Uh-huh.
Is that fair? Okay.
Yeah.
And to stay away from anything that's going to influence you away from them.
Yeah.
That's,
and
that's, you what know, you're describing.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is exactly what I'm describing. And the way you, when you express it that way, the immediate reaction I get is, they wouldn't do that to me.
Well, it's a nice theory, but the truth is, they do, right?
Yeah, I know, and it's, I think that that's why it's so hard to believe, because there's so much loyalty to those voices.
Well, there's loyalty coming from egocentric karmic conditioning to egocentric karmic conditioning. So when you're identified with it, you're extremely loyal.
Right.
When you have one of those moments of stepping back and seeing what's going on, you're not loyal to them.
No, no.
You'd throw them over the nearest bridge without a second thought.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's really
so
true.
So the whole thing comes down to whether you are in center, the way you describe being when you're listening to that one of those shows, or after you've listened,
uh-huh.
you know, you're filled with joy and possibility and excitement and enthusiasm, and you can see that anything could be, and, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they start the conversation to pull you out into, that's not true, it's not going to work, don't listen to that, Buddhism is what? Wrong, bad, and dangerous?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Stay with us. Listen to us. Listen to us. Listen to us. You know, your life doesn't work. It never has. There's really something wrong with you. There really is. You know, those Buddhists can say there's nothing wrong with you, but we know you. There really is some. And pretty soon, it's like hypnosis. And you just go to sleep and identify with egocentric karmic conditioning, and there you are, out there in a world of suffering.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that there's something else that I wanted to ask about, which is that I got from the archives, which I've heard you talk about non-dominant hand journaling.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing a practice called focusing for a couple of years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing
started it by a Catholic priest?
But this was taught by this guy, Eugene Glendlin.
Mm.
But anyway, it involves journaling, and they use this word disidentification a lot.
Mm.
And but I thought
they've been studying good sources.
But what I noticed with the non-dominant hand is immediately, as soon as the first time I did it, the voice that answered with my left hand, which is my non-dominant hand, was this. It was very clearly this 4-year-old child who was just terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard what he told me, I felt this tremendous compassion.
Uh-huh.
And I have to say that I've been doing this every day, and this relationship between this compassionate adult and this four-year-old has become just really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's really changed my meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I sit down, I do the journaling, and then I sit down. When I sit down, my only thought is, I have to take care of this child.
Mm-hmm.
I have to.
Your heart is open. You feel compassion.
Yeah.
You know who you are and what's important and what you need to do. And it sounds like at this point, there's no way you're going to let the voices of self-hatred come in and beat him up.
Well, that's actually what's happening. I feel like because I have this relationship with this little boy, it's very clear to me who's helping him and who's hurting him.
Yes.
Because I have children myself, and
uh-huh.
I mean, parents have instincts, or maybe people have instincts.
Well, and I would say that as a parent, what happens is you try to be in that conscious, compassionate mentoring role.
Mm.
Sometimes you identify with egocentric karmic conditioning. You probably yell at them.
Right.
And then, of course, egocentric karmic conditioning beats you up for having yelled at your children.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, so we can see it. We see it everywhere, you know, that same relationship. And what we're attempting to do is move back into center, into that place of authenticity, compassion, understanding, expansiveness. And from that place, the next step for you
mm-hmm.
is to embrace the dad.
Embrace the dad. Oh.
Okay? Oh. Embrace the, in quotes, adult
mm-hmm.
who's trying to live life in the best way he knows how, and sometimes through stress and distraction and inattention and all of those kinds of things that most of us fall for, at least at some point during the day,
yeah.
he gets drawn off and confused, and he starts identifying with and colluding with conditioning, and the battering, that battering cycle is set up.
Right.
So as you begin to see these relationships, you'll be able to see him more clearly. You'll see what a really nice guy he is and how hard he's trying, and you'll begin to see that it's not his fault when that happens to him. He has to learn. It's kind of like a teenager getting talked into alcohol or drugs. Okay, on some level, this kid may know that this is probably not a good idea, but he doesn't have the resources to say no to what's not good for him. So he gets caught up
right.
and loses consciousness, and then he makes decisions based on these voices in his head, and then he feels bad and guilty and gets in trouble and gets punished and all of those kinds of things. So if that process is happening at every stage, and what we begin to see is, oh, the only way any of these folks have a chance is if you, whoever is listening here, makes the decision to spend as much time as possible in center.
Yeah.
And the way that we can increase our chances is by learning to direct our attention away from those conversations about loss and lack and deprivation and wrong and self-hate and punishment and comparison. We learn to see those. It's like the teenager learns to recognize a drug dealer.
Right, right.
Yeah, and begins to see that, maybe that isn't a heroic profession. You see?
Well, at first, he doesn't know.
At first, he doesn't know. No,
he
and of course,
he actually genuinely doesn't know.
As adults, you see, we then, so each of us has we have a teenager,
mm-hmm.
and what we do when we see that teenager doing something that is wrong, And that's the way we frame it when we're identified with egocentric karmic conditioning. He's doing something wrong.
Right.
And we just slide right out there into conditioning to decide what we need to do to him to keep it. Now, you know, from this disidentified place, it's very obvious that what he needs is compassion, understanding, conversation that will help him feel good about himself and make choices for himself.
Right.
But what we do, what we're conditioned to do, what society tells us we have to do, beat him up, punish him, take things away from him, make him sorry he was ever born into our family.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. As if that's going to make him choose loving kindness and compassion for himself. The best that people hope for from that conditioned place is he learns to beat himself up so badly that he won't make those choices any longer. But, of course, you know, how many of us have found that successful?
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's very good. You're on an exciting path. And just know that those voices are going to try to get you off of that path in every way that they can possibly imagine. Because
yeah.
When you are at center, they don't have any life at all, and they're really fighting for their life. So that's how they say kind of silly things like Buddhism is wrong.
Because they're in kind of in a desperate situation.
They're desperate to
get
you back.
Well, that's what it sounds like. It's like this is, you know, it's kind of like I had this experience of seeing them. I was at a spinning class, and these voices were saying, you know, this is crap, this is junk, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I remembered that from your book, There's Nothing Wrong With You, you said, which person wants you to run and which person wants you not to run?
Right.
And it was so clear. It was like, oh, this is not me. Mm-hmm. This is this person talking to me who just wants to ruin my day.
Happy dances over here, boss. Okay. That's the whole deal.
That's the whole deal.
That's the whole deal. To stay conscious enough or just to say thank you, thank you, thank you when there's this momentary blip of light that
yeah.
enables us to see something like that and realize, wait a minute, these people are not on my side. These voices are not rooting for me. They're trying to kill me. No, I'm not going to do that. And that's when we come in and we begin that mentoring process. You know, so you say to the guy who's, I'm guessing this is bicycling, not yarn. you congratulate him, you thank him for making the effort to be there, for wanting to take care of your body and wanting to help you be healthy and to live as long as you can so that you can enjoy your grandchildren and just thank him constantly with every turn of the pedals. Thank you,
uh-huh.
thank you, thank you, thank you, you know, until it's such a conversation that there's really no room for anything else.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. All right.
Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Keep us posted.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Roger. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Michael from Menlo Park. You're
Hello.
On Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening, sir.
Hello.
What's going on?
I've got a very exciting opportunity coming up for me in June, and I wanted to call and talk to you about it.
All right. What's happening in June?
And see if you got some guidance for me.
All right.
I have a very good friend of mine. We've been friends for about 20 years, who's a Christian minister.
Uh-huh.
And she's directing a youth camp for her denomination this summer, and the topic is peace. And she's inviting people from different faith traditions to come one day each and talk to the kids.
Wow!
And she's invited a Jew, a Muslim, a Zen Buddhist, me, a Catholic, and somebody else. That's my opportunity, and she has some guidelines about that. I think that she'll be developing, you know, over the next few months.
Uh huh.
But I just wanted to see if you had any thoughts about if you had an opportunity like that, what...
Right. Well, first of all, the thing that I would do...
Uh-huh.
How old are these...
They're high school age, and I don't know if they're all the way from freshmen. I suspect they're all the way from freshmen to seniors.
Uh-huh. So the one thing that I would want to do is to try to, in some way, make it relevant to their lives.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they are so sick of adults talking to them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to...
I taught high school for a few years, so I'm aware of this.
Yeah. So you're gonna basically put them in charge?
I certainly hope to. I don't want to tell you the truth, I think she's got something in mind like I should give them lectures on Buddhism 101, and I really don't want to do that.
Oh, no. Don't turn all of those young people against Buddhism.
No. That's why I'm calling you.
Yeah. So you can sense that would be the fastest way to do it.
Well, part of the reason she asked me is, like I say, we've known each other for 20 years, and I was a member of the denomination that she is, so I know the kid's religious background.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and also I taught high school, so she figured I'd be a perfect person to come do this.
Mm-hmm. And so what, you want them to have their own experience of peace. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, because, you know, peace is center.
Yeah.
So we can't actually tell people what peace is.
No.
I think it's the reason that peace is so difficult for people. People have an idea, really, really smart people have never spent a second thinking about peace.
Uh-huh.
For them, peace is the absence of war.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yeah.
If you're not at war, you're at peace. Well, we've noticed that might not necessarily be the case.
Yes.
And so I would be really excited to have this be an opportunity for these people to be really expansive.
Yes.
In their definition of peace.
Yes.
And how we get to a state of peace.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to call in and talk to you so we got the archive, and my friend can also listen to the conversation we're having.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because...
Well, the first thing that came to me when she said this, well, for one thing, during the day that we do the Buddhism day, she wanted to have the food, the right, food and decorations and, really, really...
Oh, lovely.
Have a day of it. And of course, my first thought is, as we you always do when we have a workshop, is we do a centering exercise. So,
uh huh.
And I had thought about,
Yeah, to do a centering exercise, to perhaps have it include a time when they have felt at peace.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mhm.
I certainly want to avoid lecturing to them because I just don't want to do that.
Well, they don't want it, you don't want it, and it has nothing to do with Zen. You know, the classic Zen thing would be that you come in and you take a meditation posture, and then you just sit there.
Yeah.
And just, then they're left with what their experience is, and to talk about that.
Yeah.
What happened to you when...
Yeah.
You had an expectation that life was going to go in this direction, and then it didn't go in that direction.
Oh, yeah.
What did you think? What did you feel? What did the voices in your head tell you?
As the months go on and I talk to my friend and I try to get ideas about this, would it be okay for me to, email the guest master at the monastery and get feedback?
Yeah. We'll enroll the monks.
Beg your pardon?
We'll enroll the monks.
Oh, absolutely. I think that this is just such an honor that...
How many hours do you have with these people?
Well, I think she's got the idea that we're going to have, I would be in front of the group twice for 1 hour, and then they're going to break into small groups for a couple of times during the day, I think.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I'm just, just really excited about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
I met a woman today just... we happen to be standing in a line next to each other, and I had on my Living Compassion fleece shirt, and she said, "Oh, I love that. Where did so? You know, well, that's an organization that I'm a part of, and that sort of thing." And she's a meditator, and she said, "Do you work with children?" And I said, not really. Uh-huh. You know, our orientation is more along the lines of, let them be raised by the kindest, most compassionate, loving people that it's possible to be raised by. And then when they get old enough to make a choice, let them make the choice that speaks to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you'll be offering them more possibilities.
Yeah.
That's very good. That's fun.
I'm really excited.
Yeah. All right.
Well, thank you.
Let us know.
I will.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Michael. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to take a quick break now, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Coming up next on Open Air, in the second half of today's show, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back.
I'm Rochelle.
And I'm Jeff. Join us every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific Time for the Travel Hub on World Talk Radio.
Each week, we will talk with experts in the travel industry, including cruise and tour operators, authors, and more.
We'll have regular weekly features like Captain Concierge Hugh Gerstle as he explores a different part of the world you've asked about.
Plane Smart with Tom Parsons takes a look at the best airfare deals of the week, and we will keep up with the top travel stories and news and views from the world of travel.
Plus, we'll have regular features like Mike Miller's Road Trips and Webstop with Johnny Jett, which features different travel-oriented websites.
It's the Travel Hub. Make sure you join us live every Thursday night or listen to the archives at worldtalkradio.com anytime.
You're listening to World Talk Radio, where the world comes to talk.
Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Anna from England. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good morning.
Hello. Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Hello there. Hi. Hi. it's funny that you've got all this talk of young people, because I've got a young person here.
Yes, you do. Is she 14 now?
She's stayed up. I've got Poppy here.
Uh-huh.
Is she able to talk to you?
Sure.
Should I put her on?
Yes.
Okay, then. Here she is.
All right.
There you go.
Good morning.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
Good. What's going on in the middle of the night in England, in your life?
Yeah, well, I've phoned in to ask you about, well, I do art like my mum does, and I've been doing it since I was really little, and it's always been, you know, something really stable in my life that I've never felt bad about, and when I've got like the voices saying that I'm a bad person and I'm no good or whatever, it's always been like, but it's okay because you're really good at drawing. And So whenever I'm feeling sad, I've always been able to go to my drawing and I just feel okay again.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, the voices have started to say, oh, you're not actually any good at drawing after all. And it's kind of, you know, made me feel really upset because that's been a really stable thing that I can always rely on.
Yeah. So, you know, we call that process, as you well know, self-hate.
Yeah.
Yeah. The voices hate you.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't make sense on a certain level that you would have voices inside your head that talk to you in hateful ways, but it's obvious that they do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the comforting thing is everybody has them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not like there's something wrong with you because you have those voices. Everybody has them. And the really hateful, hateful thing about it is that they will go after what is most important to you.
Oh.
Right? Because, as you've indicated, all along they could do their worst, but they could never really get to you because you had your art.
Yes.
So the only way to really get to you is to take that away from you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's my best and only encouragement.
Okay.
Don't let them do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I suppose, you know, if people talk to me about what I've been doing for the last, X number of years, like 30 maybe, I've probably been saying the same thing all along, but I don't really remember what I say because I tend not to listen to myself, which I think is kind of a good thing.
Yeah.
And so I recognize that I am obsessed with this thing about people being able to direct their attention. So do you remember when you were a little kid, you could start with something like art and just get completely lost?
Yeah.
You didn't even know what planet you were on. Maybe people would come in and have to kind of holler at you to get your attention because you were so focused on what you were doing.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's not the case anymore, is it?
No.
No. And the thing that can take your attention away faster than anything is those hateful voices. And
yeah.
So your job is to do, by choice and through practice, what you were able to do naturally and easily when you were a little child. And
yeah.
That is to turn your attention on what you're doing and keep it there.
Okay.
Yeah, because otherwise it splits you.
Yeah.
Part of your, you know, it's like... You know, teenagers are notoriously able to do many things at once. So, you know, you can have the TV on and you have the radio on and you're listening to your iPod and you're doing your homework and you're drawing.
Yeah.
Okay? And adults say, you can't do that. That's not possible. You can't possibly do that. But for some reason, teenagers are able to do that. And so with this, I want you, I'm hearing you're motivated to do this, to
yeah.
see where those voices fit in with that. So you're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this, and part of your attention is always on what those hateful voices are saying to you.
Okay?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can be even with your friends and or at a movie or whatever it is, something that just a short while ago would have taken all of your attention, and now it's able to split you. So part of you is where you are doing what you're doing, and part of you is watching them. And I'm really going to encourage you, be a front runner. Be the first in your group to do this. You do not have to give them any attention. They have no information that is helpful to you.
Okay.
Yeah, all they're trying to do, crazy as it sounds, all they're trying to do is ruin your life. And, you know, I would give another example. Have you observed racism?
Yeah.
Okay. And so what you see in that is that one group of people hates another group of people because of the color of their skin.
Yeah.
Or the way they talk. And if we step back a little from that, it's just insane because there are people from all over the world and they live where they live, and they are the color that they are because that's where they're from, and they speak the language that they speak because that's the language where they're from. And when we take that little step back, we can see, well, it's crazy to hate people for something like that.
Yeah.
And hating them does nothing. It's not like it's going, hating them is going to make them choose to be the right color or choose to speak the right language, in right, you know, has to be in quotes, the right language without an accent, or will make them choose to have money. You know, hating them is just hating them. It doesn't do anything except bring hatred into the world. And that's just another example of what's going on inside each one of us with those voices. That hate is turned against us in the way we see it turned against other people out in the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have nothing for you. Just say, nope, sorry, thanks, not interested, you're wrong, bye.
Yeah.
Yeah, and every time you find yourself distracted and your attention is there and you're in the conversation, do whatever it takes. Come back to your breath, come, you know, go pick up your art supplies and start drawing something, walk outside and breathe some fresh air, tell yourself what a great person you are. Think about somebody you love unconditionally. Just think about them, and your heart will be filled with love. Just keep practicing that instead of letting them engage you.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
All right, let me know, all right?
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Poppy and Anna from England. Sherry, I found that very inspiring.
Yeah, boy, what a... It's just so amazing, isn't it, to have those kinds of resources available at that age?
Yes.
And, you know, I would bet her mother, you know, in that way that we were talking about, you know, the voices of self-hate go after what's most important to you.
Yes.
So when people love their children the way it's obvious she loves her daughter, mom is going to get big doses of self-hatred. You know, you should have done this, you shouldn't have done that, what's the matter with you, why didn't you? Because that's the thing that's most important to a person is the well-being of their child. And it's just so sad. And so with that, you know, for mom, whatever sins and crimes might have happened, whatever, it's a grand and glorious thing that this young woman knows, because of her mother's example, knows that there are other things available to her than sinking into those lying voices.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, it's a great thing. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome William from Pennsylvania. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello, William. William? William?
Hello?
Hello?
Can someone hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
Reaching out to us from across the great void.
Yes, okay.
We have contact.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
What's going on?
Well, I wanted to ask for your guidance, I guess, on a particular piece of conditioning that has been coming up for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's around an idea that I've heard expressed in the program and maybe in some of your books, and I guess it's the theme of, you know, our life is finite and very finite.
Shockingly, horrifyingly, and if we're not careful, terrifyingly finite.
Right. And the concept that I've heard the idea of, you know, if there's something you want to do, you should get to it.
Yep.
And I guess...
Not as fuel for self-hatred.
Right.
Right? It's just that, you know, I have this cousin that I am crazy about, and we just don't see each other. Well, I want to make a difference there. Not because I'm a bad person if I don't, but just because this is what I want to do, and I'm not going to assume that I've got forever to do it.
Right. Yep. Well, you partially answered my question, but I wanted to just explain that I definitely have found conditioning really is hears that statement in a certain way, the one about life is finite, and you better, if there's something you want to do, you better get to it.
The thing is, conditioning, egocentric karmic conditioning / self-hate, hears everything the same way. Everything gets turned into, there's something wrong with you, and this is what it is. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's the, you know, the fellow who called in earlier who's in an exercise class. And there are the voices. Now, you know, an awful lot of people get beaten up because they don't exercise. He was exercising. It didn't save him. Yeah. So if you're waiting for those voices to approve of you,
I'm going to be waiting a long time.
Yeah, well, you'd be long dead and still no approval.
I guess the thing that I'm definitely aware that my response is one of self-hate. I mean, I hear, you know, what comes up is urgency, panic sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Then I guess conditioning takes another little twist of, you know, when I start to think about things I would like to do,
mm-hmm.
I can start to doubt them or think, isn't that, you know, like an I? Is that my ego saying that that's what I want to do? Is that what I really want to do?
Here's the thing. How you can tell it's the ego is the conversation.
So okay? When there's any sort of...
So there I am going along, and I think, what might you like to do? Give me a topic.
Live in Europe.
Okay. Just forever or just for a while?
Probably for a good long time.
Have you ever done it?
For chunks of time. I guess the longest stretch was about a year.
Uh-huh. So you'd like to do that again?
Yes.
Okay. And were you happy there? Did you like it?
Yes. I have really fond memories of various experiences over there, and it just always worked out that I couldn't stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Continue.
Okay. So here's the thing. What difference does it make if it's ego?
What difference does it make? You mean if that's what I want to do?
Yeah.
So
ego says, I want to live in Europe. Now, the odds are really good. If it's egocentric karmic conditioning, it's only saying that to throw you into a dualistic quandary, which it has.
Yes, it has.
Yeah. So there's no reason you shouldn't live in Europe, is there?
Not really, other than...
I mean, Europe, for heaven's sake, it's a place. People live there.
Right.
Tons of people live there. Depending on where you go, they might remarkably, you know, to a large degree, speak another language. Maybe not. Okay, they all eat, they live in houses, they do something for entertainment, they work at something, they spend their money on whatever, they have relationships.
Right.
You know, it's not like you're going to Mars.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So, okay, so you would like to go live in Europe for a while. Now, the place that you can know it's egocentric karmic conditioning is when the conversation kicks in. That is definitely ego.
Okay, yeah, because I definitely, I remember you talking to someone a show back or so about, you know, the best year yet, and, you know, they were talking about planning things that they wanted to do, and
mm-hmm.
The voices that would come in and say, that I hear for myself too, like, all the buts, or you can't, or it's too hard, or...
Yep.
All
and
those
that's,
sorts of voices.
That's what we're learning to turn our attention away from.
Okay.
Now, if in the big scheme of things, if it's not in the cards, now if we can talk about that without sounding like we've slid into predestination,
mm-hmm.
but if in fact we looked ahead 20 years and you didn't live in Europe, okay, it just, that's not what happened. then you didn't live in Europe, and there would be a reason for that. Okay? You might have listened to the voices and just let them talk you out of doing what you want to do. It could have been that your life just took a completely different turn. You had an outrageous job opportunity. Okay? You started a relationship that you really wanted to pursue. You, whatever it is that
right.
happened, you didn't want to get so far away from your spiritual practice.
Right.
Okay? And so you made a different decision. The fact that you decide now, yeah, I would like to pursue that. And I go back to when we bought the, or we were considering buying the land that the monastery is on.
Right.
We had a Catholic sister who was part of our group and still is. And, you know, it was a lot of money. Of course, now it's such a silly little piddling amount of money. We wish we could do it over again 6 or 8 more times. But then, of course, it was an outstanding amount of money. And we didn't know where it was going to come from, and could we pull it off, and all of those kinds of things, all those doubts. And she said, well, why don't we just keep going forward until we run into something that stops us completely?
Hmm.
Okay, 20 years later, nothing has stopped us.
Right.
Yeah. So this is what you want to do, and you're moving in that direction because it feels, I mean, it's perfect. It makes as much sense as anything else. You know, if the voice said, what you need to do is buy more property, you know, maybe somebody would say, oh, that's a really good idea, and probably they would start arguing about that as well. So it doesn't really matter what occurs to you to do. And so you start going in that direction, and you go in that direction until either you're there, living there, or something has come up that has taken your life in a completely different direction. And ultimately, none of it matters because, don't you love this, wherever you are, that's where you'll be.
Exactly.
Yeah. And if you're not, it doesn't matter where you are, you'll be miserable.
Right.
And if you are, it doesn't matter where you are, you'll be happy.
Yeah, that I think that's one of the other pieces is that that balance between, you know, I'm aware of the idea that, okay, I might want to get to Europe, but I'm not there now, so I don't want to be miserable now.
Oh,
as well.
No,
you know,
but now could be all a part of getting to Europe. So what do you need to do? Well, part of that might be you need to save money. You need to look for employment over there. Maybe you need to learn another language. Maybe you need to figure out if you're going to keep your house here and are you going to rent or lease that out or are you going to sell it? Or, you know, there are lots of things to be considered as you head off for Europe.
Right, right.
If you're miserable now,
that
has nothing to do with going to Europe or not. It has to do with being in relationship with egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hatred.
And odds are if I am miserable here and that doesn't change, I could get over there and be just as miserable.
We can count on it, don't you think?
Yeah, I think we can.
Uh-huh. All right.
All
Let
right.
the adventure begin.
I guess it's already begun, yeah.
Uh-huh. But now you can do it consciously instead of really believing that a conversation like that dualistic one you've been listening to is valid.
Right.
Now you can just say, I don't know. This is where I am right now. So what comes up right now to do toward that goal that I have for myself? You know, and you can look at it and say, you know, I'd like to be there in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Okay, what do you need to do today to make that happen? What do you need to do today to really be here where you are? What do you need to do to take care of the person who's here to be as happy as you can be in your life?
Mm-hmm. Yes, all good things to keep in mind.
Yes, but not to think about or have conversations about.
Yeah, that's the trick.
Just let life guide you.
Okay.
Very
I
good.
Will. Yeah, I definitely. I have a brain that just wants to noodle everything to death.
Yeah, it's called egocentric karmic conditioning, called something wrong and not enough mind.
Right.
It's not unique. You're not the only one with one. And its only purpose is to take the fun out of your life. That's it. Has nothing else to offer.
Okay. This is, I probably should call in another time for the, where that leads me, but...
For the sequel, right.
Yeah, for the sequel.
Stay with this for a while.
Right.
And then see if it leads you back here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
You're very welcome. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, William. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have one more caller.
It's a miracle.
I'd like to welcome George from Pennsylvania. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
George, how's it going?
Oh, hi, Sherry. It's been unbelievably rough. Talking about dualistic mind games or ego games, am I in one right now between keeping this job that I have working with the kids and leaving that job and possibly looking for another place to live, you know, just really looking for another scene, another situation, another opportunity. And the conversation is brutal.
Yes.
It's
here's the thing.
Yeah.
They're all brutal.
Yeah, it's absolutely brutal. It's extremely painful. It creates a situation in which you cannot think anyway.
Well, you know what's so interesting to me about it is that thing that we were talking about earlier, that the person, the egocentric karmic conditioning that listens, that is, has its identity in that conversation,
mm-hmm.
says that it's so painful.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, human beings actually do have the ability to learn. So it didn't take you too long to figure out that you don't want to put your hand on a hot stove,
mm-hmm.
because it's really painful. You know that you want to watch where you're going, because if you fall down, you'll hurt yourself. You know that you don't want to slam your thumb in the car door. So we have learned a ton of stuff based on, this is painful, I don't want to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But that conversation, we don't learn about.
Yeah.
And I would say that the reason for that is that the person who's in the conversation wants to be in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is, this is so painful.
Uh-huh.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, the thing that
might... The purpose is to create pain. It's a real good place to be.
Yeah. So the thing that you might see if you can let yourself know, without it sliding into self-hatred, although it's hard to imagine any more self-hatred than you've already got going, right?
Right.
Yeah. Is, well, you know, I must want to be here, or I'd be somewhere else.
Mm.
I must want to be in this conversation, or I wouldn't be having it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you, of course, you know, a big part of where we get to with that is, anger and screaming and yelling and you don't understand and, of course, I don't want to be here and mm-hmm. what are you talking about and that's really cruel. How can you say something like that?
Mm-hmm.
That's so mean. And yet,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, we are free agents.
Yeah.
We really are. And we are free agents on every level. Now, of course, mm-hmm. people want to always argue with me, especially really privileged people want to argue with me that it's easy for us to talk like this because life is easy for us. But if life weren't easy for us, if we were starving to death or we were sick or we were whatever, then we would be required to be miserable. But we have tons of examples of people who are living in circumstances that we cannot even imagine, let alone consider joining them in, And those people seem perfectly fine. And on the other side of it, we have people who are who have everything in the world mm-hmm. at their fingertips and are completely miserable.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So that might be an interesting one to consider. You know, say, well, you know, I must not be finished with this. So if I'm not finished with this, well, by golly, I'd like to take advantage of this and learn as much about it as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. So let's dive in and see what this is really like. Because, clearly, there's more for me to see in this. Because if I were done, I'd be done.
Mm-hmm. So how do I dive into it?
Diving into it is, the suffering is maintained because there is someone who is maintaining it, and someone in a conversation of, I hate this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want this. This is too awful. I can't stand it. And they just go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, this is what's going on. I can't stand it. Well, I feel this way. I just hate it. Okay, well, this is what's going on with me. It's just too upsetting. It's just too depressing. It's just too awful. Okay, and they just go back and forth like a little table tennis match.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so diving into it is pulling up a chair on the sidelines and watching them do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of becoming one, then becoming the other. So, you know, it's exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
You grab the paddle on one end of the table and hit the ball, and then you run around to the other, grab up the other paddle and hit it, and then you run back around.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Playing both of those roles.
Mm-hmm.
But what's possible is to pull up a chair mm-hmm. and watch them do what they do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
And to some extent I'm able to do that.
And that extent has to increase.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So when I identify with it, it's clearly I'm not finished with this. Mm-hmm. So I need to get out of this conversation. You know, for everybody listening, for everybody in the world, get out of the conversation. Get
mm-hmm.
out of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Get
yeah,
out.
Yeah, the way I seem to be able to do that is to just go ahead and jump in and start doing something.
Well, you can do that as long as you're able to turn your attention to what you're doing, and it's coming from a place of, this is what I prefer to attend to.
Mm-hmm.
Not a place of, I can't stand that, and so I'm going to do something else to try to escape.
Mm.
If I'm trying to escape, you know, then it's there. It's lurking.
Yeah.
And so I, of course, am much, much more supportive of pulling up a chair and watching them do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Not grabbing the paddle,
mm-hmm.
just watching them.
Mm-hmm.
First it's this, then 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 it's this. And it's the same conversation over and over and over again.
Yep.
When you are identified with it, you're in hell. When you're just watching it, you're in awareness. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're just watching it and you're in awareness, you might decide actually to see if there's a more interesting conversation to watch.
Okay.
Hmm?
I don't know if I can do that, but...
Well, I can't do it.
Yeah. I...
What we need to do is learn to turn the attention away from the conversation. Turn it back to the breath. Turn it back to, I love you. Turn it back to... everything is fine exactly as it is. Turn it back to thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Turn it back to anything that brings you here.
Mm-hmm.
Take it away from that conversation and bring it here and remind yourself what's actually so.
Yeah.
All righty?
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, if you don't work, it gives you a lot more time to practice.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. So that is a plus.
That is.
Yeah.
All right. Take care of yourself.
Thank you, Sherry.
Put the paddle down.
Thanks for joining us, George. You've been listening to another great hour of Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining us, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael. Talk to you next week.
Sounds great.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Radio.